We are speaking now with Brent Baker, and he is the executive director of the Pondere Economic Partnership. Brent, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
So we are going to be talking about an upcoming event. Actually, it's the, I'd say, the biggest and probably the most authoritative economic conference for our region. It's called the What's Happening Up North Economic Conference. It's been going on for many years now. And it's coming September 25th, right here in Sandpoint. But before we get to that and the details of that and who's going to be speaking, because you have a big lineup of really well-qualified speakers, and there's a lot of local participation as well from local people, let's talk about what the Pondere Economic Partnership is. So tell us more about the organization.
Sure. The organization was founded back in 2000. So it's 25 years old in its 26th year. And it was founded to diversify the economy. We had been, you know, every time there's a down market period in timber prices, we would suffer. And so our traditional, you know, resource-based economy was not adequately diversified to survive well through those down periods. And this organization formed to do just that, to diversify the economy and create greater prosperity by attracting employers in diverse industries who would pay their employees better than median wages and with full benefits. That was our goal, like to create some more broad-based prosperity and more diversified. And I have to say, they really, the founders were very foresightful and very committed. 13 original board members all came together and for its first, you know, many years, fully funded it themselves. They didn't go after any kind of public funding or anything. They just made it happen. And I have to say, they actually had real success for a county of, you know, 55,000 or whatever we're at right now, and with its principal city only at 10,000. To have the diversification we have in the economy now is really remarkable. I'd say they made solid progress and had great vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was founded as the Bonner County Economic Development Corporation. And I recall from its founding that there were some significant companies in town that supported it. One of them was Coldwater Creek. Coldwater Creek, yep, was going full blast back then. And another one was Panhandle State Bank, which has segued into what's now Umpqua. Although, mm-hmm, Umpqua Bank is going to be called Columbia Bank here pretty, yep, shortly once again. So it had a lot of community support from leaders at that time who saw that although their companies were thriving, there's a lot of sectors of our local economy that weren't thriving. And, you know, Sandpoint has been locked into, it seems like, below average market wages and compensation for the you know, the workforce. And I don't know if that's accurate or not, if you have numbers.
Oh, it is. And it's, and it still is.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
It is, yeah. And that's certainly my sense of too as well. But tell us why it switched up from the Bonner County Economic Development Corporation to the Pondere Economic Partnership, which occurred just a few years ago.
Right. That happened, I think, just before the pandemic, and I wasn't quite involved yet, but my understanding at that time is they wanted to. There were a couple of issues going, one of which was that people thought it was, with the name of Bonner County Economic Development, they thought it was a county agency and that it was run by the county. I think there were some who did not want to be mistaken for being part of the county, especially we've had, although things seem to become very civil and very well organized at their meetings right now. In the past, there had been some chaos at the county level, and a lot of people did not want to be, you know, associated with that, thinking that that's what it was. So its independents want to be there, and it was new. It had a new mission and new sources of support, because when it was originally founded to only service the Quad City area here of Dover, Kootenai, Pondere, and Sandpoint, and so it had a more limited mission, and it didn't take any kind of public funding or anything. It didn't have members beyond those original board members, or, you know, one or two that might have been added after in those early years. And but now it's changed in its mission. We're not attracting so many businesses. We don't have housing for them. Real estate, you know, has a price point on it that creates real problems. So we're not a business attraction, other than in a very, very targeted way, organization. So we're more about growing homegrown support for new entrepreneurs who are already here, or existing businesses that are already here, growing, expanding, scaling. That's the kind of support, more homegrown support, as opposed to business attraction as an emphasis. So they changed the name to be the Pondere Economic Partnership. We serve a larger geographical area, and we really focus on who's here now.
And Pondere, of course, I mean, if you're going to take a look at what the geographical feature is, it affects communities from Clark Fork, way near the eastern border here with Montana, to Priest River, which is near, of course, our western border with the river and the lake coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, makes sense. And does Boundary County play into a part of what you consider your turf for the, as we call it, PEP Idaho?
Yeah. Not directly, indirectly. And that'll be a big piece of our final closing event of the summit, will be a panel of the all five of the Northern Region economic organizations, the five northern counties. And we form together, a network called the Regional Economic Development Team, and we work under the auspices of the Panhandle Area Council, which is the official organization forming the first district, or the first economic district region of the state. There's, I think, five economic regions in the state. We're the northernmost, so Panhandle Area Council out of, they operate out of Hayden, next to the airport there. So they're going to be here at the conference at our economic summit, and as are the other counties. So we have the economic development officers from Boundary County, Shoshone County, and Banawa County, along with ours. Those are the four rural counties, and then Kootenai County is the fifth member of that team. And but they're not a rural district. They're too big. They've grown much.
They're basically a city now, right?
They're a city. They have more than one city. Yeah, they have, you know, strong population growth,
right,
to the point where they don't get the support, and they're not part of the organization of what are called the Rural Economic Development Pros. But they're part of our regional economic district. Yeah. So in our one of our panels we're going to have is all of them, along with Wally Jacobson, who's the executive director of Panhandle Area Council. And then we have as our guest moderator, we have Paul Kimmel from the Avista Foundation and Avista Corporation, and he's also a leader of the Inland Northwest Partners organization, which is a regional economic development group. And we really work, so to answer your question, this is a long-winded answer, I'm sorry, but we do work together always on all things. We all support each other in everything we do and tap the resources that we know about and help each other with anything we're doing. So we stay in touch and meet regularly and are there to assist one another continually. So even though we're a one-person office locally here, we have an amazing network, and that'll be part of the theme of what our whole summit is this year, is helping people understand, you know, busting some myths about who we are and what we do and how it works. And it's really a very large and intricate web of cooperation between different organizations.
And I just want to throw out an interesting factoid about Kootenai County. Of course, Coeur d'Alene is the county seat, and it's pushing 60,000 population now, but you mentioned other big cities there. Well, Post Falls is actually 45,000 population now. I mean, Post Falls itself is four times larger than Sandpoint. And that's something that probably gets overlooked by a lot of people, because they think Coeur d'Alene, they don't really consider that Post Falls has grown as much as it has. That's just a sidebar there. So I want to get into the summit and who's going to be speaking there. But you have an interesting background yourself. You've been around Sandpoint for a long time. Tell us a little bit about your story, how you got here, and some of the you know, high points of your resume as a businessman yourself?
Sure. We moved here, my wife and I and our one-year-old daughter at the time, 48 years ago. And we actually moved up here to start an organic farm and a little ranch down in Kerrywood. But the property was completely, that we bought had been, was completely undeveloped, didn't have anything. And so we lived in Sandpoint for 3 years in the 1970s. And then we had developed things enough down there that we could move down there and just stay down there. So we lived in Kerrywood full time since 1980. We started out with just trying to see if we could make it farming and ranching. And as it turned out, we tried hard and long and we supported ourselves, you know, periodically when needed, you know, cash beyond what that activity could provide. And I kept assuming it would be temporary. I'd go back to doing construction-related activities, small jobs, because I had worked my way through college as a union carpenter. So I had that experience and was available to me. But after about 10 years of trying to make agriculture work in Kerrywood, I realized that I wasn't going to get too far doing that. It was a really, really tough business. So we decided, well, we love living down there and kind of having that lifestyle, but it wasn't going to earn a living that for me that would raise a family. So I decided to just commit over to the types of activities that I've been doing. Well, I need to go make a little money. I'll go do that. So I decided to just throw all in, and I eventually founded Baker Construction and Development and built things here locally for 25 years or so, and then sold the company to some key employees, and I got involved in ski resort development in British Columbia until I retired, and then...
What city in British Columbia was
it? It was up out of a small town. It was out of Oliver, BC. It was up in the Okanagan Valley. It was one of the five Thompson Okanagan, you know, ski resorts. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the southernmost of them. And after doing that, I retired to a career of coaching, business coaching and consulting and educating. And then I stumbled on the fact that they had been trying through the pandemic, they had tried for 2.5 years to hire an executive director. And they hadn't found just the right fit locally. And they were not able, they had a couple of people interested from out of the area who had been recruited who could come in and do the job. But they couldn't afford to move here. Housing had gotten so expensive that there's no way on a salary this, you know, little nonprofit could pay, there's no way somebody could relocate here to do the job. And they were actually starting to consider maybe we're going to have to fold the organization. We can't run it on volunteer effort alone. Mm-hmm. That won't work. And I just happened to stumble on that. And I talked to my wife and said, well, since I'm retired, I can afford to do whatever I have to do to help make this thing, you know, revitalize itself a little bit. So I committed to work for, you know, at least 3 years. Mm-hmm. I said I would do, and maybe more. So I'm in my third year now doing this. It wasn't something I was looking for, something I stumbled on, but I'm glad I did because it's been immensely rewarding, not monetarily, but in other ways. Right. I feel really blessed to have been doing this.
Yeah, in terms of building community.
Yeah, building community and meeting so many amazing people. And that's part of what we'll see in the summit. We'll be talking about this network. So now I've been meeting people all over the state. And then through, you know, working with Inovia now, also I've opened up, you know, the doors. So they have a 20-county, you know, service area in eastern Washington and north Idaho, 10 in each. And I... just through all of that interaction now, I feel like I know so many people. I really do love the entire Inland Northwest, so I feel like I'm in a position through this network to have impact and help our entire region. So it's been pretty great, really. Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Inovia. That's the Inovia Foundation, and they it helps nonprofit organizations throughout this 20-county Inland Northwest region. And distributes a lot of money from donors and from the foundation itself to these nonprofit groups that are so important here. There's going to be a speaker from Inovia at the Economic Summit. But let's switch now to talking about specifically the Economic Summit. Again, that's coming Thursday, September 25th, and it's an all-day event. It includes a bunch of economists that are going to speak to regional economic matters, and it's going to have panel discussions with local people involved, and it includes a catered lunch. It's going to be held at the Sandpoint Center, which is the big brick bank building in the community room there. It's going to be catered by Marigold Bistro, which means the lunch is going to be superb, mm-hmm. as it always is. And that's just kind of off the top. Go ahead and tell us, well, you know, what the summit is and, you know, what you like to have it accomplish.
Well, the summit is really amazing. I think it's the most significant gathering of the year for Bonner County, really, because what we do is we bring together the business community and the government entity community. So we have the county level, and then we have 9 municipalities in our county. Most people don't realize that. There's 9 of them total. And so we bring government representatives in here as well. The entire nonprofit community shows up strongly, and plus some interested citizenry. So it's when where you have some citizens, the nonprofits, governments, business, all convening together to talk about what are the things most important to us, get reports on who's doing what's going on, what's new, hence the name. And we continue that theme, what's happening up north, really, mm-hmm. that's what it's about, mm-hmm. and try and bring some insight into what might we want to be directing ourselves toward in terms of major initiatives to better help our community. So it's very participant involved. We have Q&As during, you know, each one of the sessions throughout the day. It's an all-day event. It also includes networking opportunities. Lunch is always very lively, people meeting and talking. You're sitting randomly with people you might not have had a chance to sit down and have lunch with and talk about things. And then a networking event at the very end of the thing. There'll be a no-host bar, and we'll sit around for a networking event at the end. But it's really about that engagement. We want to hear from the people there and have them question our speakers and share with the audience their concerns, what they're seeing. You know, it really becomes very much the community's round table. And that's one of the best things I like about it, is that involvement. Mm-hmm. It's very lively.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's talk about some of the speakers that are going to be at the microphone. And one of the keynotes is Grant Forsyth. He's the chief economist at the Avista Corporation. So go ahead and tell us more about Grant and these other speakers that are already lined up.
Sure, glad to. So Dr. Forsyth, Grant is, as you mentioned, he's Avista's chief economist. And I saw him a year and a half ago speak at the Inovia's leadership conference, and I really liked him. And we've had lots of great speakers, economic keynote speakers, and I really like Grant. He's a fresh voice, and I thought, well, let's keep mixing it up. We haven't repeated on anybody yet, and that's really been great. So he had offered, or I had talked to him last year, and he wanted to do it, but at last year's summit, but he couldn't. He had a conflict. But I checked with him again this year, and he was available, so I was really excited. He's very outspoken. He doesn't hold back. He says what he thinks, and very, very knowledgeable. He used to be a professor of economics at Eastern Washington University, and in his bio, you'll see that he served on the Washington Governor's Council of Economic Advisors, the Citizens Commission for Performance Measurement of Tax Preferences, the Association of Washington Business Council of Economic Advisors, and Sandpoint Mayor's Economic Advisory Roundtable. So he is absolutely authoritative on what he'll be presenting, and he'll talk about, you know, what he's seeing, trends he's seeing, and how do we deal with a lot of really chaotic things that are going on right now, and how do we deal with the massive uncertainty that is out there right now in the business community. He'll be addressing what he sees from mm-hmm. his point of view, and how do we stay positive and keep moving forward is what I've asked everybody to kind of theme their talks mm-hmm. on for this event. And so he'll be live. He's a fun presenter. You'll really like him, and he's super knowledgeable. And then in the second event. We're going to have, to round out the morning, we have something we started working on. I also serve on the Lakes Commission, have since inception, over 20 years now, I think. And so we have Ford Elsasser and Dr. Steve Peterson and Tim Nedreau. They do economic impact statements as part of their work as professors at U of I, and then in private industry as well. They consult and do economic impact statements, and then we have Ford Elsasser, who is the founding chairman of the Lakes Commission and also well known in the community for the many things he's done over the years, including he's chairman of Bonner General. And he's
their board, yeah.
Yeah, their board, and he's former school board chairman. He's just been really active in the community and really well regarded in the legal community. He's argued a historic case which he won unanimously at the Supreme Court. So he's just really, really got an amazing resume. He'll never tell you that, but he's a humble guy. But he and I and the other board members have been wanting to get an economic impact study, so we have more leverage to argue for our interests in the management of Lake Ponderay since they built the dams. It's always been here as our resource. It's a natural lake and been part of our resources from the beginning, but we have to compete now with upstream and downstream interests and management by the Corps of Engineers and
for power specifically.
And power supply and for downstream salmon versus our right. species in the
That's
lake.
Right. So it's, and flood control is an important function.
Flood control and economics and all kinds of other impacts. So we've been wanting but could never afford to do an economic impact statement. But over the years, we've built up from our work on the commission, we've shown we bring the value, and so we have enough funding now where we had enough money in our account to co-sponsor the study with. So the U of I has joined us. So, Steve and Tim are joining us, and they're doing the economic impact study.
And they're both professors.
And they're both
at
professors.
University of Idaho.
Yeah, private consultants and professors at University of Idaho. Mm-hmm. And they're doing the impact study. Mm-hmm. And so Ford will be with them, and they'll talk about where it's at. It's not done yet, but it will be done this fall. So we'll be announcing the results, but they'll talk what it's about and how that came about. But finally, by splitting the cost of it between U of I and the Lakes Commission and teaming up, we're finally getting it done. And we're hoping that'll give us the data we need to prove that, more weight needs to be given to our local considerations when you consider in the management of the Ponderay water system, that our stretch of the Columbia water system. So it's a big deal for us, for our community, to understand that.
Yeah, I think most people see the lake and they just know it's this beautiful natural feature that we have, but it's actually an immense economic engine for the county, and it affects so many of our businesses here, certainly not just tourism, but all kinds of businesses that are in our communities along the lake and the river. And keeping it healthy, of course, is also key to making sure that it continues to be a big economic engine for us.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Well, okay. And so that is that going to be the morning?
That'll round out the morning, and then Q&A and discussion with the entire room on these topics. And then we'll go to the lunch hour and networking at lunchtime. And then as we go into the afternoon session, we're going to talk about community heart and soul program. That's an initiative, and it leads into this idea of this network I was talking about earlier. This is web of organizations that come together to provide, good for the communities of the Inland Northwest.
And that the Community Heart and Soul is a program of the Inovia Foundation.
And it's actually, again, more networking. Mm-hmm. It's actually another partnership with what was started out as the Orton Family Foundation and is now functioning as the Community Heart and Soul organization. They're out of Vermont, and they teamed up together and in turn then are spinning it out to other communities as a joint venture. And so we're going to have two speakers from Inovia who are involved with that program. We're going to have Molly Sanchez, who is the Chief Community Investment Officer for Inovia. and Josh Kale, who's the Community Development Director, and I'm working with both of them on this Community Heart and Soul Initiative. Mm-hmm. And I think we have something like 9 or 10 communities now mm-hmm. signed up and doing it mm-hmm. and in the Inland Northwest. And we're going to talk about that, and the idea being we're going to study how these communities, how these initiatives work as a web, and how by collaborating, cooperating, we benefit each other. So we have two communities in Idaho doing it and several in Eastern Washington doing this program. It's going to be available for a while. We're trying to get more awareness about it out there to more and more communities. So we'll be explaining what that is, how it works, what are the benefits, how do we network. But more importantly than that, they want, Inovia would like us to also explore, what the power of philanthropy is. They're discovering that the power of giving and of people coming together and pooling funds together in ways that can serve communities forever, basically, getting them into, powerful funds that are there to serve the communities is really amazing. So they're going to be talking about not just the Community Heart and Soul program, but also we'll be talking about the power of philanthropy and how that relates. Mm-hmm. And then as we go, and then from that, so we'll talk more about the history of Community Heart and Soul, which was founded by Lyman Orton, who is the founder of the Vermont Country Store. Mm-hmm. And when he retired, created a family foundation and made it his retirement work to help solve a very specific problem. And mm-hmm. he came up with an amazing solution, which is what the Community Heart and Soul program evolved out of. So we'll mm-hmm. talk about that. And we have a few coaches from our own region here who are involved with that, and hopefully they'll be there to participate. I'm one of the coaches.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if we can get them to come and talk a little too. So that'll be a talk and discussion. And then finally, we have the one I referenced later, where we'll have Wally Jacobson, who is the executive director of the Panhandle Area Council. Jenny Gilliam, she's the CEO of CDA, EDC, Jobs Plus, Kootenai County's Economic Development Organization. David Sims from Boundary County. Mm-hmm. And Paige Olson, from the executive director from Silver Valley EDC. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Nelson, who is from the Greater St. Joe Timber Plus Economic Development and also the St. Mary's Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. So he represents them. And then we will have, and then I'll participate in there. We're all going to share updates on here's what we're actually working on. Here's what we actually do. Here's some samples of our initiatives. And then, like I said, we'll have Paul Kimmel, who's very active in the Inland Northwest. Great guy. He'll be our special guest moderator for that discussion. We're going to show how that network fits together mm-hmm. to serve the communities.
Mm-hmm. And are you putting together some, as you have in previous years, some panel discussions with local folks that kind of weigh in on some of the topics that are brought up?
This is, unfortunately, we have so many here. It's basically going to be open as if it were a panel to the community, to the room. It's an intimate room. Those who have been in sessions in there, we're going to have mics all around, mm-hmm. and everybody is on the panel. It's mm-hmm. like we want to hear from everybody. Everybody has something to share or a question to ask or wants to share their experience in relation to this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's open to the whole room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so nuts and bolts again of the what's happening up North Economic Summit that's coming Thursday, September 25th. Check-in is around 8:30 a.m. Presentations and speakers begin around 9:15 a.m. The programs run through 4 p.m. There's a break for lunch. And then after 4 p.m., there's a no-host happy hour. And it's going to be at the Sandpoint Center Community Room. That's the big meeting room where all the groups in town seem to gravitate towards in the big bank building at 414 Church Street. Catering is going to be by Marigold Bistro. And you can register right now if you go to the Pondre Economic Partnership website, which is pepidaho.org. And when you land on the homepage, you'll see a link to the Economic Summit page where you can see more about all the speakers and the schedule. And there is a link to register. It is $89 to register. And of course, that money both defrays the cost of this event, but it's helps to raise money for the economic partnership itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we should throw a shout out to any business folks or just community leaders, people that are interested in building prosperity for our local people that the PEP organization exists because it has support from individuals and businesses. Is there a formal membership structure for it?
Yeah, we have a membership structure. There are memberships everywhere from, we have a friends and associates who are designed for people who are retired and just interested, or small businesses just starting up and they don't have enough cash flow to support at a bigger level. We have a $179 a year membership level. And then we have levels at 500, 1,000, 2,000, 4,000 for support, depending on the size of business and their ability to support. Mm-hmm. And then we have a little bit of support from the city of Sandpoint. We're trying to get, you know, develop more support from our governmental communities. You know, the average rural economic development organization in the state of Idaho gets 44% of their funding from the county and the municipalities within that county. And in and we got, what did we get? I think last year we got 4%, not 44%. Yeah. It's just like, it's not
way,
even
way
close.
Low relative.
Way like embarrassingly low. And for example, you mentioned Boundary County. They got it right. Also a very conservative county, but they don't have to have any memberships whatsoever. They have their four entities. So they have the Boundary County, the city of Bonners Ferry, the town of Moyet Springs, and the Kootenai Tribe all get together and they fully fund it. Mm-hmm. So David Sims, their economic developer, we'll talk about this in the during the session, but he gets to just get up every morning and do economic development. He doesn't have to spend any time promoting membership
and
all that.
Members that whose dues actually pay for the organization.
Yeah, it's just funded.
Okay.
Period.
Well, you can see more about the Ponder Economic Partnership and the upcoming What's Happening Up North Economic Summit. Again, on the website, that's PEP Idaho, PEPIDAHO.org. And of course, click on the Register Now button to get registered for the Economic Summit. And I want to say, Brent Baker, Executive Director, any last word you want to throw out there?
We'd love to see, we want the event to sell out, and we'd love to see, you know, as many people from as many geographical areas within the county and the region. We have people coming up from Boise for this thing and other counties. So it's a well-known event. It's developed a reputation for being the highest quality event like this up in the entire northern region. So, but we'd like as many local people participating as possible. So register.
Okay. Brent, thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Thank you.